Most Kenyans were also struck by that confusion. Most of them felt that the police actually rushed to make a judgment without conducting the proper investigation. So it does look like the police have some hitches in how they manage information, particularly with regard to such incidents, which is quite surprising because we've had several of them. So by now you expect that they know how to handle such information. And frankly, it doesn't speak very well to the professionalism of the police.
What do you make of the ongoing investigation? We now seem to have an international team of experts who are analysing the site.
That's a good development. This kind of partnership, as you very well know, in issues touching on terrorism, there's a partnership of many interesting states that are involved. But at the same time, I think Kenyans still want to see a competent, effective police force that can actually carry out such investigations without necessarily having to rely on other countries to provide this kind of expertise. So, yeah, there's a sense in which, yes, this is a good thing, but it also speaks to the kind of deficiencies that exist within the security forces in Kenya.
The Kenyan Prime Minister, Raila Odinga, was quick to jump to the conclusion that this was terrorism. Now, obviously, with Kenya's action in Somalia and recent offensives, it's quite easy to draw the inference that this was maybe an Al-Shabaab-linked attack. Is that your view, and what are your thoughts on that?
As you very well know, there has been a series of attacks, use of grenades in Nairobi and other towns. And up to now, it's not very clear whether these attacks have been carried out by Al-Shabaab or some other group. So frankly, one cannot actually tell, which is quite puzzling because by now you expect to have gotten some results from the investigations by the police. Well, one can speculate and say that it's likely Al-Shabaab, but it's mere speculation. Until we have confirmation from the investigations, it could be Al-Shabaab, it could be another group.
The Kenyan security services are obviously left lacking in certain areas. We've seen an increasing number of attacks, and at the same time, it seems that they can do very little to prevent these attacks. We've also seen institutions such as the American Embassy drawing attention to possible attacks, when in fact it really should be the Kenyans who are identifying these possible threats.
Precisely, and these are the weaknesses. It could be that the security forces sometimes have managed to deter some attacks. But again, no one knows. So in terms of communicating to the public, even where they have done the right thing, the Kenyan security forces, particularly the police, they seem quite poor in communicating that. You remember when the military went into Somalia, the Kenyan military defense forces did a very good job of updating Kenyans all the time, but we don't see that kind of communication from the Kenyan police. That creates all manner of speculation, all manner of doubts. There are clearly both capacity problems, but also management problems on how you manage information and how you relate with the public.
In your work, you've made a particular focus on community-led initiatives. How do you feel that these type of initiatives can be used to help prevent further attacks in the future?
Really, the security against this kind of attacks rests on the kind of partnership that can be forged between the security forces and the communities where the individuals who may want to carry out attacks operate. And I think this cannot be overstress. It's very, very important for Kenyan security forces to build clear partnership with community leaders, create confidence that when individuals report or give certain information to security forces, they are not exposing themselves to threats. Unfortunately, I think we are still quite far from achieving this kind of community and security service partnership.